heart to speak to us from the book of Ephesians. I pray right now that you anoint his mind, anoint his heart to speak to us, that we would hear from heaven through the mouth of Byron and be able to know what your assignment is for us for this week and for the weeks to come. Thank you for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Do a work in us. We invite you to be here. Amen.
Amen. We're live. Okay, good. Good morning. I want to start with praying for Jenny. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, Jenny, as she's trying to find out what's going on, and she goes to the doctor on Tuesday, Lord, that the doctor will know exactly what to do to give her new strength, Father. I thank you for keeping her from harm, even though she's fallen down. Father God, I think you're the God that is always there to lift us up and strengthen us. And we pray for her health and that she will return in fellowship here soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm kind of excited. This is, before we really get into it, there's the world's in collision about what really values are and what really marriage is. And Todd so beautifully left me with the last part of chapter 5, but it really has to do with God really getting involved in our marriages, in our workplace, raising our children. A lot of good stuff here. But before I get into it, I pray the Holy Spirit won't have me miss it, because this information, you can look at the information in these chapters purely from a secular point of view. You know, what's a husband, wife, children, all this, and kind of workplace and bosses and all that, and miss the deeper. Later on he says that's like a mystery. These things that were familiar in life, but we very rarely can pick out of that and see the spiritual significance. And I'll tell you right now, before we even get started with this message, really getting hold of the spiritual significance is the power to strong marriages, strong relationship with children, with parents, on the job, being a man of authority. Knowing the underlying message here is so powerful. I don't want to miss it, and I don't want you to miss it. Let them have ears, let them hear. Because it's all intertwined in this. And it's not strictly reacting to wives submit, husbands love. It's way deeper than that. It's way deeper than that. Thank you, Jesus. Obviously, it starts out verse 21 where Todd left off. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the starting point. That's the gate to start the race. Submit out of reverence. Submission, in the dictionary, says accepting and yielding to the authority of another person. Reverence, a deep respect for someone or something. Now let's hear what God has to say through his word. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, in which he is a savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, also you wives submit to your husbands in everything. Well, you can just look at just a husband and wife relationship, or you can allow the Holy Spirit to go deeper. What's the deeper? The deeper is submission in the same way you submit to Jesus. You know, could that be a problem today? Sometimes as Christians, we could stand up, and it's not like a hidden thing, but we really resist doing the full will of God in our life. We say, you know, I'll take it this far. Wait a minute, you know, I think I'm going to draw a line here. Can I really trust you? Can I trust in who you are? Can I fully engage in submitting to Jesus and the Holy Spirit leading in my life? Because now, as a church submits to Christ, so it's the will of God, it's his heart for you and I to hear what he says and do what he says. And is there examples? I was pulling out a lot of examples, but I just decided just for time, we'll just look at one marriage union in light of these scriptures. So it's talking about the wives here. But it's talking deeper. The deeper issue is submitting to God himself. So, where's an example of that? It's Mary, the one that gave birth to the Savior. An angel appeared, Gabriel, a messenger, came to her and showed her what God's plan was for her life. Her response to that was submitting to God. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. What was she saying when she was saying that? She was submitting to something that could be very problematic. She did not fear the consequences of her decision, even in the face of potential public shame. The higher message, why submit? Oh, there's way deeper. It's coming to that place in our lives where we say yes to Jesus, even though it seems like it's going to be a difficult road. She did it, even though she faced public shame. And really, according to the law, execution. Being pregnant outside of a marriage was, the law said you should be stoned. And yet she did it. Yet she submitted to God himself. Then it's kind of funny to me, just a few words about wives and a whole book about husbands. Hey guys, we got the role that can not always be easy, but rewarding. Husbands, love your wives. The underlying, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So the secular view is love your wives. The deeper one, to love the same way that Christ loves the church. To make her holy, cleansing her, washing her through the Word. Through the Word. One of the responsibilities of a husband to be acquainted with what the Bible says. Because there'll be plenty of opportunities in marriage where, as Nancy's husband, where I have to say, well, we're going through this, but this is what God says. This is what the Word says. And then it says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed it, they care for it, for their body, just as Christ does the church. And we are members of that body. So that in the normal sense of the word, every husband should love his wife. But the deeper is, where does the power come from? From knowing his love for us. Knowing how greatly he loves and favors our life. And so is there an example of that? It happens to be in the same marriage with Mary and Joseph. Now Joseph, it doesn't say whether Mary said it or whether the town started yapping around, you know, gossip, start talking around, but somehow he found out the wife he was betrothed to was pregnant with a baby. And he went in his own way because he was familiar with the law. He was a good Jewish boy. He knew to say, he knew the penalties. He knew that the penalty, if they would carry the whole thing out, was that Mary would be stoned. He knew all that. So it's very interesting. He says because Joseph was faithful to the law, what he learned and what he knew, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to just divorce her. You know, his love for her, even though he didn't know the whole truth of what happened, his love for her said, I still want to protect her. I still want to protect her. But God was working on a way deeper thing than just Mary being pregnant. What does it say to Joseph? An angel appeared to him in a dream and told him what was conceived in Mary was of the Holy Spirit. Dreams. Dreams. Dreams are good. And his response to that, he knew the law, he knew that, he wanted to protect her and divorce her so her life wouldn't be taken, but he had a dream that said this child is someone very unique. He woke up from the dream and he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. He did the right thing. Again, in a worldly sense of the word, in the worldly sense, we could just look at that passage, and I know people that go to that passage and they never pick up on the deeper. They pick up on, I'm supposed to submit to that rotten scoundrel. You're asking me to submit this person that really does, and there's a reaction, and then to the husband, me, you're trying to tell me to love this woman after what she did to me, and they only can look at the surface of human experience when that was Paul's never intent. His tent was to go deeper and see what is expected of you and me to submit to the Lord our God with our heart and soul and mind, and to acknowledge His love for us. Because that is going to be, I guarantee you, in our life's experience, as we go through life, the enemy's going to try to challenge or defraud His love for you and me.
Yep.
He's going to try to, because once He gets us there, He's disarmed us for the kingdom of God. He's disarmed us. I go back on my notes. You know what? It's worthy for all of you guys to kind of look into more examples of this submission and love. We have Esther. All of a sudden, she was summoned to go before her husband at the wrong time when her husband could actually have her executed. But Esther, fully dependent on her submission to her husband, that her husband would hear her and save a whole nation. And that's what happened. And we got the other Joseph. And we'll get into this as we go through the scriptures, because it has to do with raising children, it has to do with the job place, it has to be those in authority. Joseph found his essence of his life submitting to the will of Potiphar. Even though Potiphar then had grace on him, he was so angry about what happened when his wife lied about Joseph. But Potiphar had a soft spot for Joseph because of who he was, and just sent him to prison. Then he found favor in prison. And then he found favor with the Pharaoh. And then, you know what? Submission and depending on God's love over your life took that Joseph from a slave to a prisoner to the palace. These words, submission and love, are very powerful when we view them in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, doesn't it? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, and be united with a wife, and two shall become one flesh. And that was God's intention, that should be a lifelong thing. And he goes on, verse 32, for this is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of us also must love his wife, and he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. But you know what? That's crumbling. That's crumbling in our society. Because without God involved in the understanding of submitting to God and acknowledging His love for us, things don't always work out. And now we go into raising children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, if we left it right there, children, can I use you for a second? Children, child, Wesley, you must obey your parents. You know what? I'm glad I didn't leave it there, because it's a right thing. Because it's right. It's the truth. It's the truth. Fathers, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. I thank the Lord for all the years he's given me. But you know what? Nancy and I came to that place in our life. I would actually drive from work and have lunch with my mother-in-law and take her to this restaurant, Stormy's, which was near her house. And we have lunch with her, and I would take an extra long lunch just to spend time with my mother-in-law. And then, because she was alone. And then I'd go back to work. And then all of a sudden we start discovering things. You know, she threw something in the microwave. And it was supposed to be for 30 seconds. She put 3 hours. Almost burned the house down. Smoke and fire coming out of that thing. And I started saying, you know what? Nancy, your mom, unless you get somebody in there, but I think the better thing is, Nancy, honestly, you know, this is a husband loving his wife and loving her family. I said, your mom needs to move in with us. And Nancy said, you got to be kidding. She's so independent. She's never going to do this. I said, no, she has to. But it's not going to work. It's almost like, Byron, you tell her. I'm not going to tell her. So in those occasions, having lunch with her, and I said, Betty, I said, you know what? How would you like moving in with us? You know what? There was the right time, the right word at the right time. All of us need to learn that. Yeah. You know, and God will build in our hearts. There's things to be said, but they need to be said the right word at the right time. And she said, you know, when the day of our marriage, she came up to me and kept me separate me from the crowd, and we were all ready to get married. You know, Nancy and I were both married twice. To each other. Service in the morning in the Bible church in Winnetka, and in the afternoon we got all set up all over, 2 receptions. Wow. And went to the Greek Orthodox church for the sake of my side of family, married there and had another reception. And she would say, you know what, Byron? You're marrying my daughter. I only want to be known to you as one thing, mother in love. And, you know, and that meant a lot to me. But that also opened the door for me to speak into her life. Because of her great love for me as a son-in-law. So she agreed. And I said, that was one of the most wonderful years for me, having her in the house and loving on my mother-in-law, taking care of her needs and having her part of our family until she went to be with Jesus. Yep, and it says, it'll go well with you. Do the right thing. It'll go well with you. And you'll enjoy life on the earth. You know, Nancy and I oftentimes reflect. And I tell her, I said, you know, Nancy, when I met you at a retreat in Wisconsin, I invited you because my dad said I had to have a date. And I said, I don't really know anybody. Oh no, you gotta have a date, you gotta bring a girl to this thing. The very next weekend after this retreat that I was invited to be a speaker to about 50 young college students. I never dreamed that a bunch of college students that were at least 10 years younger than me, that God was gonna bring me the wife of my life. And because my dad, as I was walking out the door, said, You gotta have somebody to this event at the school. So Nancy happened to be at my dinner table every night, every meal at this retreat. And I, at the end of the retreat, I said, you know, I could you mind joining me? I need to take. Oh yeah, I'll come with you. I'll come with you. And we reflect on that. And I'm gonna have to tell you, with all my heart, I mean this. I mean this, really. I love Nancy more today than I did when I first met her. I love her and adore her more today than throughout our whole life. You know what? Where does that come from? You know what? It's a lot of times in marriages, when we're going on 47 years, that things go cold. So where does it come from? I have to say, my love for Nancy growing and growing and growing is right in tune with my acknowledgement how much Jesus loves me more and more and more. As I'm growing that relationship with Jesus, the natural fruit of that is loving my wife more and more and more. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. Raising children is a challenge. It's a challenge for Nancy and I, and it's a challenge for all of us. In fact, while at the farm last weekend, the guy who cares for our farm, his wife Melissa, we took him out to dinner, and she was talking about, and she says she's a teacher and now this is a rural community. This is not Libertyville near Chicago or anything. This is a rural community in the country. And she said, I'm a teacher in a school. But it seems like more of my job is trying to help some really unruly children. She said the week before when she was in school, one of the kids in school grabbed his chair and threw it across the whole room. And she had to pull the child in there and try to talk to him. You know, actually, in the last days, if we're coming to that time of Jesus coming, one of the signs of children will be disobedient to their parents. And she was seeing that. But you know what? It's do not exasperate your children. But as a father, training and instruction. You know what? Training and instruction goes way further than corporate discipline. You know, it's like I'm gonna whip my child into submission. When the child is crying out for something that will sustain them. So training and instruction. As a father raising three children, Holy Spirit was leading me in a way of making a discipline situation, and the discipline was there, but not just discipline, but a time for training and instruction. Those moments when they come, it's so important, as a father, I say it's so important for me to bring Jesus and the Word of God into the situation. You know, it's a, it's a example, because we're going to get into this a little bit. And this is, I found my two boys. And it's way worse today, guy, than it was for my kids. What's available on the internet? They were experiencing, trying to find out what all they could find on the internet. And there's sexual perversion on the internet. And so I found out that they found a way to get to it, my two boys. And I grabbed them both together, and we had a conversation how demonic, how destroying the very fiber of your being comes out of sexual perversion. And I was able to teach them and say, you know what? That if you want to go there and live that lifestyle and go deep into it, one of the things that will suck out of you is creativity. It will suck out of you the full potential of you being successful in life. It's very demonic, very evil, and it's so flooded our society. So much so, it's even in the church. It's even in the church. So a wise parent is saying here, a loving father will take situations that come up, and they will come up because we have a sinful nature, and that stuff comes out sometimes, and to make it a time for the person to reflect on what does God say? What does He say? And does He have something way better for you than you're going to miss out on if you just allow yourself for self-gratification and go in that direction? Here's a key. Because as somebody gets sucked into that, it's a deadly cycle that will never bring satisfaction. And God, but here's the core to it. That your response is, I don't want to submit to what God says. I don't want, the devil wants to remove our every being knowing that he loves me. To say, I'm going to go this different road because God's trying to keep me from having fun. God has something. We're going to get to. I got a little ahead of myself. We're going to get into that. So then going forward, and to me, when I read these scriptures, I like to change the word slave to employee. All right? Employee, obey your earthly master or boss with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would, wait a minute, just as you would obey Jesus, that boss, that guy's got authority over your life, You're going to work for him the same way you would if you'd work if you were obeying Jesus. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes are on you, but as slaves to Christ, do the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, even as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Here's the key, all right? You know, here's your human nature. The boss ain't looking, so I'll just go do what I want. I only perform when he's looking. But when he's back in his office where he can't see me, you know, what he doesn't know won't hurt him. Got anybody like that work for you? I don't think you got amazing people working for you. So you know, it's this whole thing. But the question is why? Why should I just give my 100%, 110% to the person or institution that I'm working for? Why should I even do that? Why should I do more than I expect it? You know what? Jesus was always talked about the more. And remember this. In God's kingdom, in God's economy, little is always more. A little effort always is more. He said, you know what? If your person in authority asks you to carry your coat 1 mile, voluntary carry it 2 miles. There's something in the Bible that talks about what happens when we do more than expected. And I tell you, the old term, that's above my pay grade. You know, he's not paying me enough to do this. And all of a sudden, it get all, but you know what? There's something here in the Word of God that says it's an amazing thing when you take your place as an employee to the same level of serving Jesus with all your heart and soul and mind. Here it is. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. So, in life, when I'm doing things, I do it 100%, 110%, because there's a God that I love and that I know that will do exceedingly above more than I can ask or think. There's a God that will take me to a whole new level. There's a God that looks down on me when I treat people correctly and rightly and love people and honor them for who they are, small or great, it makes no difference. That there's something behind this. There's a God that's looking at it, looking at me, looking at you, and saying, I'll reward you. Don't worry about the accolades of people. Be heavily concerned on God saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will reward you. Hope this is helping. It's helping me. I hope it's helping you all. So, now the boss. How about the boss? Hey, you boss. Treat your employees in the same way. Do not threaten them. Hold that, you're fired over your head. Don't you know if you don't, you're supposed to make 100 of these things, if you're only making 50, you're going to lose your job. Better crank it up, brother. You better put out the performance, Lord. If you don't cut that tree down in 3 hours and it takes you six, man, you're in trouble, brother. You know, and just holding over their head, this whole thing, I better do this or it's not going to be good for me. Since you know that he who is both their master is yours and is in heaven, there is no favoritism with him. How does that go? That goes a long way. Boy, I'm going to watch my time here. I just saw two illustrations. You know, and you've heard these in the past. I'm a man in authority over, at one time, over 100 men and women. But I would always allow my life to get involved with every one of them. When they were in the hospital, I was in the hospital with them. When they were having marital problems, I'd be there with them. I'd be with them through thick and thin. It wasn't a matter how much they can perform for me, but how much I can show Jesus to them. So, I have two, but I'm going to use one because of time. There is a Puerto Rican man working for me, Roberto Fuentes. And he worked for the company for many years. He rose up from an operator to actually the foreman out in the shop, and he was dedicated to his job. And my dad helped him with some issues in his family. He would invite me to dinner at his house with Puerto Rican rice and beans, and you better like it. But it was really good, this green banana thing I wasn't sure about, but he welcomed me in his home. And Roberto then finally, Illinois decided to have a lottery. So Roberto comes to my office and says, guess what? I just won the first Illinois lottery. And $50,000. Wow. Then all of a sudden, I got NBC and CBS and all these guys showing up at work with their cameras and everything. Where's Roberto Fuentes? We want to just put a little... And I said, wow. So I said, I think I might lose my foreman. But no. He bought a house with that so he'd only be a few blocks from work so he could still remain working for our company. And then, finally, he became of retirement age, and he moved to Puerto Rico. And he said, Byron, anytime my house is your house, mi casa so casa, something like that. So he said, anytime you come to Puerto Rico, and I went and visited him in Puerto Rico. And then time went on, and I get a call from Roberto. He says, I went to see my son in California, but I made my ticket to fly through Chicago with an overlay for a few hours before I go home in Puerto Rico. Byron, will you please meet me at the airport? I said, of course, Roberto. What time is their plane? Right? It's the middle of the afternoon. So I drove out to O'Hare Field and sat there, and he came out to where I was. And we sat there and talked and talked about Jesus and the faithfulness of God and who God was. And he was acknowledging that and saying how working for our company was a blessing to his life and how it was so important that he learned about Jesus on the job. And then it was time for him to catch his flight to Puerto Rico. And it's a picture in my mind that will never end. He was walking back to go to the flight, and I was outside in that area where you get your tickets and stuff. He turned around. It was actually in the baggage area. He turned around, looked at me, and smiled. And bye. What he didn't tell me was a month later he died of cancer. And because allowing God to love through me, he did not want to die unless he saw his boss, Byron. Rewards. It's not always financial. It's much more than that. Much more than that. What honor it is to run a company where I can freely get involved with my employees and tell them about the love of God. And I never, in my imagination, not too many years ago, that if you would tell me I'd be a pastor of a church of amazing people, I would say you're drinking some bad stuff. But you know what? It's such an honor. It's an honor for me to be here on Sundays and remind you that he's worth submitting to. He's worth for you to know how greatly loved you are. And that he has stuff for you so amazing if you'd only submit to what he says and say, yes, I don't care, like Mary, I don't care if this means shame and embarrassment. If you told me this, I'll do it. And he will do exceedingly, abundantly more than you can ask or think. So therefore, in the ending verses here, time's up. Well, put it, I'm going to trick the record really fast now. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's a schemer, he's a liar, he's a not a truth teller, and he's out to get you and me. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full army of God, and when the day of evil comes, it's not if, it's when it comes. When that biggest challenge that you really maybe don't want to face comes right in your face. When it comes, not if it comes, it's when it comes. You will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. This could be another message where we'll go through it fastly because it's like 10 minutes to 12. Stand then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith from which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the devil, evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These things, belt of truth. You know what? You need to know the truth, and the truth will set you free, because we have a formidable liar. And you and I need to know and distinguish the difference between a lie and the truth, because it's only the truth of God's word that delivers us from all kinds of difficulty. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is your heart, my heart is guarded by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to protect that part. Sometimes heart is said, heart or spirit, sort of similar thing. But it says you need to know that your righteousness is not from you, it's from him. It's a gift. When you got born again and gave your life to Jesus, He declared you righteous, the breastplate of righteousness. Feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Be ready. Be ready. Wherever your feet take you, I guess wherever you're going, your feet are there, right? They're taking you everywhere, you know? So, you know, one time, just the other day, Nancy and I, she had some blood tests. And by the way, things are turned out really great for her about this liver thing. And her blood numbers got better and everything else. And so we're praising God for that. But as we're driving home, I said, well, in memory of your mother, why don't we just go to Stormy's restaurant by your mother's house and go sit at the table we all sat at and enjoy that moment together. What I didn't know was maybe 6 weeks earlier, this young girl was our server, and readiness. Holy Spirit gave me a prophetic word for her, and she was really moved by it, but she didn't say exactly why, but she just said, that was just so meaningful to me. So now 6 weeks later, we go to this restaurant. She's there. She has our table. And then we ordered our food. And then Nancy ordered her, and she says, oh, that's what you ordered last time. Hey, come on. It's the first time she met us. And she's remembering what Nancy ordered? No, it's not that she remembered that. She remembered the presence of Jesus in our life. That's unforgettable. This might be some details of that, but it's unforgettable. She remembered that. And then I ordered, because the only place in town that I know I can get a grouper sandwich and think I'm in Florida. So I ordered my grouper. Then she looks at me and she says, yep, lettuce and tomato and no mayonnaise. How does she remember that? She met us for the first time and 6 weeks earlier, and she remembered a detail of the way I wanted the sandwich. I said, you're right. You remembered us. She said, you know what, sir, I'll never forget you two. You know what? Jesus has your life ready to be unforgettable to the people you meet. He's the one. It's not about you, it's about Him and allowing Him to leak out of our lives. The shield of faith protects from the evil one. That's why I say, I pray for you guys in this church. I pray. The key thing that I pray for you guys is faith increased. Father, take this church and take the people of this church and increase their faith, and don't let Satan rob it from them. Amen. Helmet of salvation. It's very, very important to protect your mind. That's the battlefield. That's where the enemy, with his crafty lies and deception, will try to minimize your faith and how much you're loved by God. How much He favors your life. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. I referred to it briefly before. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Take, whether it's raising children or on the job place with people you're working, look for opportunities to declare the Word of God to the people that we're meeting and spending time with. And now this, so then it goes on in closing, and pray in the Spirit at all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Next time you think you're in such a mess, switch it around and get off of you and start praying for people, Christians are all over the world going through what you're going through, or maybe even worse. And I tell you, once you start doing that, you start your focus leaves yourself and on the kingdom of God and who He is. And it says, you know, praise in the Spirit at all occasions. And he's talking about we believe in all the gifts, and that's praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. And but it also all kinds of prayer, petition, protection, and let your requests be known. Prayers and requests. Do you think about, hey guys, hey, next time you have a real biggie request, wrap it around with thanksgiving. And thank the Lord. I don't see how it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to work. But I thank you. You're my God. And you can do it. And you can do it. Now, worship team, you can come up. I'm finishing up here. Also pray for me. That's what this is here. You know, Paul is talking about himself. And whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You know, pray for Pastor Todd. Pray for me. We are, my heart, Todd's heart, will never water down the Word of God to meet some very lower expectation. But speak the Word of God with all its power, its strength, and what it is. It's the final word. So, kind of nice that. So, hey guys, this week pray for me. I need your prayers. I feel your prayers, and I appreciate your prayers. God bless you. Have a wonderful day as we end this service worshiping Him.
God, tell me this. Anyone with eyes can see a mountain, but